time for Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
I love it. Welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, and we are on KYKN Newsmakers 1430, your noon hour, where every weekday we talk about local issues, topics, individuals, institutions, initiatives, and all that good stuff. And we have quite an individual here in the studio with us today. We're going to talk about home prices and the home market and the house market. What's my house worth? And how do I pick a realtor? And can we possibly get a loan? And what services should I buy? All that good stuff. So we brought in a guest. Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
I'm good, Brent.
So we have my friend Laura Dorn. Welcome, Laura.
Welcome to I'm excited about doing this.
Well, I know, and you are so humble, you know, in addition to being charming, but you don't usually sing your own praises, and you've been in this business a long time. And for full introduction, Laura Dorn, you're a real estate agent, broker.
Real estate broker.
They call that. Used to be agent back in the day, but now you're brokers.
And a realtor.
And you work with Berkshire Hathaway. So Berkshire Hathaway Home Services
Real Estate Professionals. It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And Laura, you're a beginner, right?
I'm going into my 28th year in the business. So just a few years.
All right. That's why you're here, because there's a lot, and we're going to talk about this in a while, but how many people are new to the business, but you've been around a few cycles. So so for people that don't know, Berkshire Hathaway used to be Prudential, right?
That's correct.
And you just do houses?
Well, primarily houses, sometimes subdivisions, land,
Multifamily, duplexes.
A lot of duplexes, multifamily. Try to stick to the housing market and not commercial. That's for those experts. So,
well, we're lucky to have Laura Dorn here with us because she has a lot of special insight. She's married to a home builder who happens to be building my home. So lots of connections here. And he's been doing it since like the 70s,
like
right?
40 years.
Unbelievable. And I know you've been involved in the Home Builders Association, the Chamber of Commerce Board.
Yes.
You were involved in Habitat, right?
Habitat. And I also served on the Salem Association of Realtors Board and was past president of that Habitat Board for 6 years and president 2 years there. And so very involved in my local stuff.
That is good. You know, we talk about, and we've talked about in past weeks, being a member of your trade association, being up to speed on the expertise in your own industry and the trends and the changes and the technology. So that's great. All right. So you ready to dive in? Let's talk about what people's houses are worth. Do you see a flattening off of the market? I mean, it was red hot for a few years, and everyone just assumed it was going to up, and everyone was jumping in and making offers, and it was selling right away, at least in a certain price band.
Sure. In the definitely in the first time homebuyer price range, which obviously is risen in price over the last few years. So if you're a nice clean house in a good area, 250 to 3, they were going with multiple offers in a couple of days.
Still?
Well, it depends on where it's at. So we're still seeing multiple offers, maybe not 7 on a house, but maybe a couple. And the interest rates kicked up a little bit. I think that has certainly impacted the first-time home buyer. But there's a lot of good programs out there. And quite frankly, the FHA rates were 4.6. So that's a heck of an interest rate for a first-time buyer to get in there with a 3.5% down payment. Parents can gift them the money. Seller can pay some closing costs, so it's still really good. Our issue still is there's just not much inventory.
Yeah, is anybody out there going to get a sub $200,000 home?
Well, we're starting to see a little more of that, depending on area. So there's some out there. I think that a lot of people have just kind of held back this last year. But you say that, and then we go on a wave, and there's a bunch on the market again. I think people just are a little nervous, and I think the buyers, quite frankly, are tired of paying top dollar. So we are seeing a leveling out. We're starting to hear people say it's a buyer's market again. In some cases, yes, especially something that's been on the market a long time, then there should be an adjustment there that either the quality or the neighborhood condition isn't quite right for the price of the house.
I'm sorry, what's a long time on the market?
90, 100 days, I would
That's
consider.
A long time?
Yeah. Well, if they haven't adjusted their price in 90 days, then there's probably more to it than...
Are they still expecting to sell their home within a month?
If it's in the 250 range, certainly.
Oh, wow.
And even under three. They expect it. It better be really spotless and in good condition and not needing a new roof or siding or anything
like
that.
Right.
And priced right. Quite frankly, you can't just, if a house next door sold for $250 2 months ago, you can't expect that you're going to get $260 for it. That's not what's happening. It's leveling it out.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. When you mentioned price bands. So when you get above 300, 350, or say over 400, longer time on the market?
We're seeing longer time on the market. But earlier this year, $400,000 houses, $450 in the right neighborhoods, gone. You know, sometimes multiple offers, but what if you just got one full price offer and away you went and your client was happy and they move on? So I think that because the rates have just kind of, they've gone up a little, but they're kind of stabilizing. We're also seem to forget that 10 years ago, pre-recession, our interest rates were 6%. So we're still 1% more buying power than we were pre-recession.
Wow. I did not know that.
No.
Wow.
There, you learned something new today.
Well, I hope they're learning a lot. You mentioned a little bit about, well, actually, back, I'm studying on interest rates. How much does that affect the buyer and their psyche and their decision-making process? Are they jumping in and we want to buy it now before it gets higher? Are they backing away because they think they can't afford it? What's
going on? Well, I thought for a little while, during this month, I thought it kind of cooled off for a little bit. And a little bit was election and things like that, and in November, 1st of December. But because we're just seeing them just inch up and down, back and forth a little bit. And again, still good programs out there for the buyers, that I think that their confidence level's coming back. And they're hoping for a spring with a lot more inventory, too.
Okay. Inventory is my next question.
Yeah. Well, we could use some, and we're going to get some. We do have a lot of growth going on in West Salem and South Salem. And there's new subdivisions on the docket, dirt being moved. We should be seeing some more things by summer, I would think, of next year. We also have the big boys, the big D.R. Hortons and all that coming to town and buying a lot of property.
And so those are national companies that throw up a ton of scores and scores of houses at once, right?
Much more affordable, you know, not near high quality, but enough for a buyer to say, I really want to live in this neighborhood because of the schools, young families, you know, little houses with backyards near the parks and schools and all that.
Those are always nice.
Yeah, and that's a great starting place. And and the local builders just can't compete with the square footage price, and we'll get to square footage price and what that means too. But at least there's inventory out there in areas that people want to be in.
And so do these national builders, do they recruit local realtors to sell their homes?
No, they mostly employ their own broker.
Really?
So they'll cooperate with us. So I bring them a buyer, they're going to pay the fee. But they generally set up shop, do a model home, and then their broker sits there. One or two or whatever in the areas in which they're at. So typically they have their own broker.
All right, we're talking to Laura Doran here about all things in the housing market here on Newsmakers on this fabulous Mid-Valley day, and she's with Berkshire Hathaway, a broker, and been doing it a long time, just in case you just joined us. So translate this for the person who doesn't know anything about real estate industry. Inventory means how many houses are on the market, given.
Sure.
And how many houses are on the market and how quickly they turn over means how many weeks of supply do we have, right?
Well, for the longest time, when this summer and spring, we had like 2.5 months worth of inventory. Now we're closer to 4. In what we used to call the old days of a normal market, that would be about 6 months worth of inventory. So as long as there's inventory, then we should see a leveling off of pricing because, of course, there'll be more competition.
Right.
But we also lack certain styles of housing, and so we have challenges because of South Salem and West Salem. Remember, that's where all the growth is going. Hillsides, not the flat land that we need, because we really have a shortage of one level housing, and that, and we have to deal with the topography to put them on. And if it's not flat out there, that's why you're seeing areas like Turner and Dallas and Independence growing, and they're supplying a big need of retirees homes. So that's big growth going in that direction. But I'm losing my train of thought. Where are we going with this?
You know, I get that, because a lot of people in my age bracket are thinking 20, 30 years ahead that right. I want single level.
That's still your, besides the first time home buyer, your baby boomer empty nest are still your number one buyer. And they're the ones that have the usually good down payment, the means, or even cash to buy that next house. Either they're, you know, scaling down, or that sometimes they're not scaling down at all. They just want a one level house,
right.
Get out of the big two story one level. And we just don't have the inventory in Salem or Kaiser to accommodate that. And then again, we still have in migration of a lot of Californians.
That was my next question.
I knew you'd get
Californians coming in here and buying houses. Okay, we got a break, but we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how to pick a realtor, how to pick a mortgage broker, how to pick all these expertise we get from Laura Dorn at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. Great. All right. You're listening to Newsmakers. This is Brent D. Hart along with Dave Bourne, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
I don't know about you, Brent, but I always think about Home Alone whenever I hear this Brenda Lee song now. You know that?
Yeah, they play it incessantly every year about this time.
I'm going to have to fix your mic.
Okay. Welcome back to Newsmakers. We're talking to Laura Dorn about the housing market and the housing prices and what you can expect to pay for a house, what you can expect to get for your house. Notice we're having technical changes. Hi, is that better? Oh, that sounds a lot better. We're on the fly here with our technical repairs right here at KYKN Studios.
Yes, right.
You're listening to Newsmakers at the noon hour. We're talking local topics and local individuals. So we've got Laura Dorn here with us. And we'll plug your husband, Dan Dorn, and he is a home builder extraordinaire with Sunco Homes and Remodeling.
That's correct.
And actually, I'm friends with these people. They're nice
That's
people.
That's good to know.
They are nice people and good professionals. You could be nice, but a bad professional, I wouldn't have you on the show.
Oh, okay.
But you're, you know, I know how much you know. I don't know what you know, but I know that you know a lot. Anyway, Dan's building my house right now, and it's great to have you in.
Thanks.
So, wow, 29 years we talked about the market. We were talking about inventory being short on the market, about 4 months worth. We talk about California still moving to Salem,
sure.
Which is part of the growth of Salem. And is it a huge portion of what's happening in the market as far as market demand or prices escalating, the Californians?
Oh, I think
or
a lot.
Or the Portlanders, I'll add to that question.
Well, I think we are starting to see more Portlanders because they're getting pushed out of the market. And we are seeing more development to the north end, which would make it an easier commute for them. So there's, you know, great big giant housing development out on Kale Road that they're putting them up, and I think that's their target market. And a lot of those builders are not even local builders.
Man, they should swap houses with the people that live up the highway that are commuting down to work at the Capitol Mall.
Yeah.
Right? All the state workers that don't leave any money behind in Salem, potentially.
That's right.
That live here.
Like 50% of them don't even live here.
That's another topic.
That's
another show.
Another day.
Let's
talk about. All right. So we got an expert here. And in the realtor business, there's a lot of realtors. Seems like every other week I find somebody tells me that they're going to be good in the realty business.
Yes.
So how many realtors are there for our area, and compared it to 10 years ago or after the recession?
I don't know the exact number, but when prior to the recession, it was in our local association, which covers Salem, Kaiser, into Albany and so forth. We had about 800. I heard numbers recently that were 1,200, 1,300. I don't know, somewhere it's up there.
Wow.
I don't track it as much because I just want to go do my job. And and only, you know, you need to get to know them because they're going to be on the other end of your transaction at some point. But when the market's good, lots of people, you know, go into the business.
I think it's a lot, probably a lot like the trades when the recession kind of wiped out a bunch of people and needed to find a different way to earn a living.
Well, sure. When we did go through the recession, I mean, we plummeted in members. Excuse me. But when things change in the market, you have to change too. And so a lot of those people need to support families and, excuse me. They also don't realize this is a 7-day-a-week job. Yeah. You know, it's not you pick your hours. My clients pick my hours for me, quite frankly. And when you're well established and you already have a clientele that has bought and sold multiple houses, somebody new coming in the market's going to have to be knocking on doors and sending out mailings and, you know, doing it the old-fashioned way, which I did when I started, and so, build your clientele and your sphere.
All right. So you can go and you take a real estate class and you can get your license to sell real estate. Then what? I mean, someone is new to the business. Is there a lot to know that they don't know yet?
Oh, absolutely. You go to school, take the test. The schooling doesn't teach you how to sell real estate. Yeah. It just teaches you the law and teaches you your forms and a little bit about, you know, what buying and selling dirt is, but not truly how to negotiate a deal or how to farm an area or how do you create a person to be your client? You don't learn that in real estate school.
All right, so somebody hires you to fly out of town, go to a different city, right? And you're going to give a seminar to how to pick the best realtor. What are you going to teach the audience? What should they look for?
Well, I think they should personally, and this is a plug for my company, I think brand name is big because I rely on my company's tools to make my job easier and also to provide everything I can to my clients, whether it's buyer or seller. So I think that's really important. I also think personalities have to go along. You know, there's mm-hmm. sometimes personalities just don't fit.
Right.
And if somebody comes to me and I don't think they're a good fit, I'm an independent contractor. I don't have to work with them. But a new agent, and we all have been there, just feel like they're going to just grab that, you know, person so that they can go, you know, make a sale. But I do think you want somebody that's involved, that's educated, that knows their areas, that has good skills in communication. That's the biggest. I think that's number one, communication.
Yeah, well, especially for me, I'm a communication junkie. I'm an information junkie, and I over-communicate. And knowing the area you hit on that in terms of people don't know. I mean, I moved to Salem in 1990, and I got asked, well, do you want to live in this area of town, this area? I had no idea.
Right.
And actually, I had a not-so-ethical real estate broker.
Yep.
And it was over by the mushroom plant that doesn't exist anymore. But I think we've talked about that when Mike Erdman from the Home Builders Association was here. And there was, you know, you get the wind right and you were downwind of a chicken doo-doo. And I asked about it at the door at a visitation of the house, and she pretended like she didn't know what it was.
Yep.
So
you have to.
Every industry has people who are not that.
Yep,
ethical.
You do. And if you are going to sell acreage properties, you better know something about wells and septics and everything else that goes along with that too.
What do you not do in terms of real estate? Like what? Things like, oh, that's not my expertise. And
I won't get involved in big commercial deals and leases and things like that. I've helped a couple of nonprofits do a lease with some help from another broker, but for the most part, residential, new construction.
Okay,
that's keeps me plenty busy.
All right, so the listeners out there say, "Hi, I'm thinking about buying a house. I'm going to buy a house," you know, and how do they start with a mortgage broker?
Well, they probably will start with a real estate agent because they will. Let's say a buyer, they're scoping out neighborhoods, hit some open houses, or they pull up the websites and they're searching the areas. They probably will get a referral for a real estate agent, or they'll just, and a lot of my business too, when I've done a lot of open houses, that buyers are looking for an agent they think they can work with. It might not be today, might be the future, but they go out and interview agents. So start with that, and they could start with because it's so easy to get pre-qualified online and so forth, you know, Quicken Loans and all those things.
Really?
That a lot of them will pre-qualify themselves so they can try to figure out what they can afford. that doesn't always work in my world. I try to work with local lenders that know the market and that there's a real person on the other end. And a lot of buyers don't necessarily need a real person on the other end. But still, when you're if you have a local lender that you can go to when you need to, and then coordinating between the escrow companies and the lender and the realtor and the inspections and all those things that play into it. So there's a lot to remember. But
so my mortgage broker friends will say, start with us because we can, one, we can tell you what you can afford. And two, if there's issues with your credit rating, we can coach you in how to improve your credit score before you go out to shop. And three, they keep their eyes open for when specific programs kick in because it is
cyclical. It changes all the time.
Because you mentioned you're aware of something that's 3.5% down and...
Well, and so a lot of people will go to a lender first and that's fine. I do believe that they do, programs change every day and the rates change every day. And the lender, if somebody does have a glitch in their credit, they can tell them how to fix it and how much time it takes. It doesn't happen overnight.
That's true. So, all right, what areas are hot? What areas are like, oh, everyone's buying here, they're faster moving in? Is it Kaiser? Is it South Salem? Is it West Salem?
Well,
is it sublimity?
It's kind of in the outskirts right now because during the recession, the developers weren't developing at all and lending changed. So banks weren't lending money to developers to develop. There was a fair amount of already developed land that was bank owned and foreclosed. And I don't think anybody ever saw it coming, that got absorbed, I think, a lot faster than we ever imagined. So then some of the reason why I have low inventory, nobody's building. So then the other areas start to grow, Turner, Sublimity, Independence. Not Kaiser because they're up against their urban growth boundary. Yeah, there's nowhere to grow.
That's a whole other conversation. We're going to have Mayor Clark.
But you're still selling houses.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And they're holding their value. And they probably, out of all the areas, appreciated by 12%+ over the years in Kaiser. So they're still holding really well.
12% over what period of time?
Oh, from last year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is substantial.
Mm-hmm.
Every month you go through, it's going up another percent. I'm still having trouble reconciling in my head that average home prices have gone from, sub 2000, I mean, say in the last decade or so, to 250 and up.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen household incomes in it seemed like the housing market would start to outprice even the people that live here, but
I know that it certainly has changed and knocked some people out of the market. But there's a lot of pent up demand out there, and because there's so many good loan programs out there, and we're also seeing a lot more gifts. So if a first time home buyer needs their down payment, their parents can gift them $10,000 or whatever they want to gift them, and that'll get their foot in the door. So. Yeah.
All right, we're talking to Laura Dorn, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, realtor, real estate broker extraordinaire, and community servant. We're going to come back and talk about more things about the market, things that affected high school districts, radon, a bridge, areas with gentrifying, things like that. So stay tuned. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart, your noon hour where we talk local issues here on KYKN. We talk about local initiatives, issues, individuals, ideas, anything that affects your pocketbook, anything that affects your quality of life, people of interest, and topics of interest, hopefully. So glad you're here with us. Also here with us is Laura Dorn from Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, formerly Prudential, for those who don't keep up with the changes in the industry. So a lot of people are kind of stuck on the old name. Of course, it got purchased and renamed, but it's still the huge nationwide organization,
great
right?
Great brand, yep.
And owned by the Oracle of Omaha, right? Berkshire Hathaway. And okay, so Laura, so many things to talk about. And let's
start with Dosa Homes. You said we could be here for hours.
Yes, okay. So let's talk a little bit about how people know what their house is worth.
All right.
What their property's worth. I know price per square foot is a big deal. Because your husband's a builder, and I've disclosed I'm active in the Home Builders Association, and costs to build per square foot is enormous. What people, I mean, you used to be able to buy a house for less than what it costs just the builder to, in their cost to build. So cost per square foot, is that a valid comparison when they're comparing house prices?
Well, it certainly plays some factor, but again, if and buyers like to look at dollar per square foot, but they don't take into consideration necessarily the age of the house, the quality of the house, and when I mean quality, that does it have hardwood floors, granite, high-end appliances, you know, what how big of a lot? That's a big factor. A lot, mm-hmm. lot costs are very high right now. So in coming up with a price, I belong to the multiple listing services, both the Willamette Valley and the RMLO, so that's the regional service. And that those organizations are where your go-to to go see what the last house that was similar to sold for. So all your information, your comparables, how many days on the market, mm-hmm. It shows price per square foot too. But I really try, unless it's a cookie cutter house and the same house sold over and over again, I don't look at the price per square foot.
All right, so it's a tool, but it's not the tool.
It's not it.
People are kind of addicted to that.
Yep.
But the tour of homes that the home builders put us on during the summer, those houses, brand new, in nice neighborhoods, they're going at 250 a square?
Some of them are.
Right?
Yep, 250. Well, I'd say anywhere from 230 to 260. Huh. So, and you know, people like all these amenities. And when you walk into a house and it's got 10 and 12 and 14 foot ceilings, well, that costs a lot more to build than a 9 foot ceiling. So people don't realize sheetrock and wood and roofing and all that. And
the cost of those materials is crazy.
It is, really.
All right. So somebody's listening right now. Hey, I looked up on a site online.
Yes.
How accurate is that? Is that a tool they should use?
Well, it is a tool, but it's not a great tool. And I'll probably get in trouble for saying that it's Zillow, but Zillow is a tool because it's easy to use, and a lot of people use it. We do try to get our clients to use our websites and have maybe a little more accurate information. But when somebody says my house is worth $400,000 on Zillow and they want to sell it, then it's my job to go get the real comparables and the county records and the stuff that we support multiple listing with and show them it's only worth $350. I don't know where you got this, you know.
Yeah.
And they might not hire me because I'm telling them the real facts that this is what the neighbor sold for, and they might hire a realtor because they told him it was worth $450.
Are there other comparison sites or pricing sites besides Zillow?
I think everybody has one where you can plug it in and get a pretty good idea. Zillow is just the easiest one to use.
And why is it not accurate? What are they doing wrong?
Well, I think that they don't look at the true comparison. They just pull off of the multiple listing or the county records, and they're not looking actually that this house may have been a daylight basement house, a lot bigger than the house that they're, you know, showing that it's this price. So you also need to go out and touch and look at it and to come up with a price and make sure it is what it is.
There are a few things more personal than the house that you pick, that you're going to live in, you can spend your waking hours in, that you're going to raise your kids in.
And it's a very emotional business. People buy, there's people that buy for practical reasons, but the majority of the reason why you're buying a house is all emotional, whether it's schools or your dream house and, you know, the things that you've been wanting in your home.
So you've been doing this 28 years.
Yep.
I've seen a few cycles, right?
Yes.
Up and down and mistakes. You've seen a few mistakes.
Sure.
and hopefully you have context. So, I mean, it's one of the values of hiring somebody is hopefully you have resources that say this person will take care of the dry rot or this person will evaluate the roof.
Yep.
Or right?
Well,
or
I used to tell my clients I'm a walking yellow pages, but we don't really have yellow pages anymore.
What's
but,
that?
Yeah. But a good broker that's been in the business a long time and a company. We pool our sources too as a big company. So if somebody has used a vendor or subcontractor, has really good clients that are happy with it, then we do a lot of referring amongst each other. You should use this painter, you should use this roofer and things like that. So you walk into a house and somebody needs all these things, I try to give them a whole several to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
But I you've got to have that information so that you can provide it for your client, especially when they get through an inspection, they got a lot of things to fix.
Well, let me speak on behalf of the cynic that's listening. There's a cynic out there saying, yeah, you're just getting kickbacks from those people.
I don't get any kickbacks for anything. I think their business will grow, my business will grow for doing a good job.
Boy, we talk about that a lot. It seems like once a week, don't we, Dave? We talk about if you're doing business the right way, and yes, for the right reason, then enough money will come.
Well, yeah, because the referrals from all the people that have positive experiences with you, just word of mouth.
I continue to grow my business.
Yeah,
all my
exactly.
happy clients will tell all their friends and their family and all that. And that's what I've done a good job is
And
doing
if you
a
don't
good
do
job.
A good job, then you're constantly changing your name, your LLC.
Or companies or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm pretty stable.
And those are the people that don't survive the recession, hopefully. I've seen people make money on being, you know, flighty, and not your industry in general, my industry and all industries, but you know, you might make some more money by taking advantage of somebody in the short term, but helping people, mm-hmm. truly being of service to people. So they should expect their realtor to know somebody that'll handle that repair and get it done and mm-hmm. run at a fair price.
Licensed contractor.
Licensed contractor.
Not somebody that is your brother-in-law.
And you know, everything encompasses that as far as landscaping and a painter and all of those mm-hmm. things. And sometimes there's a surprise in the home inspection.
Absolutely.
So this happened to us. So let's touch on this. Radon.
Yep.
How much do we see radon in the Mid-Valley?
Well, we see a fair amount of it. And, of course, there is a map out there that you can tell where the highest levels are. And there's a good portion of West Salem, Candelaria, parts of South Salem. I think it's real important that the houses get tested for it. It's really not a difficult remedy to mitigate it. Everybody's always shocked, but it is the number one non-smoking cancer out there, lung cancer, and people get sick from it and,
wow.
and die from it, and it's pretty scary stuff. So I think if your client certainly has some concerns, then you hook them up with somebody that can do the test. So almost in every case, it can be fixed. So, but your typical houses that are daylight basements where the radon gets more trapped, that's just kind of a red flag for me. Anybody's going to buy a house, and if it's older, it doesn't have to be older, but
it's a fine older, earlier than 90s.
Yeah,
or even in the 90s.
Yeah, maybe the 90s too, but
okay.
Definitely earlier in the 90s because the codes have changed. The builders now have to put pipes in it to allow for that mitigation if that should come up. So
the radon gas for the you're familiar with radon gas, Dave? So it's in the ground, it's
yeah.
natural, it comes out, it's odorless, it's colorless, we don't know it's there, and then one day you wake up, you have lung cancer. So, but they can put barriers down if it's under new construction,
mm-hmm.
and they can put a pipe, they
yep.
can put a stack as where the gas will gather and it'll go out through the stack, out through
like
the roof.
Like the roof,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
And
I think
it goes into the atmosphere, and it's harmless as long as it's not concentrated.
Right.
But if we're in a home and radon's coming up from underground, then yeah.
And I think anybody can go. There's kits you can go do a home test if anybody's nervous about it, whether they're selling their house or not. It's a good idea.
So if you've lived in the basement for a while,
you should probably get it tested.
Okay.
So I'm going to sell my house. Should I hire a home inspector now or when it's required when it's coming up for sale?
That's a really good question. If the client was asking me and I felt like the house was in really good condition and they kept it up and so forth, I would say probably not. But if it's been really lived in and they haven't, and they, it looks like they've had water issues and they just haven't kept up with it, then it'd be a good idea so that you would know what you're in for when the buyer comes along. Or go ahead and make all those repairs so your house is worth more when you put it on the market.
Yeah, and I always wonder that. People, why they won't spend $2,000 or $500 to paint something and get the value of the price up.
Well,
right?
And then it's a non-issue when the buyer comes along that the buyer's just going to pick at it and say, you need to paint your house.
Yeah.
Oh, my realtor told me I should have done that.
So I don't like surprises. So I'd be tempted to hire the home inspector ahead of time and do all those things. But then you're going to have to pay for the home inspector twice, right?
No, the buyer will pay for their own inspection.
Oh.
So, just once. Should be just once.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope so, right?
Well, sometimes they ask and you just say no.
So we talked about a mortgage broker. We've talked a little bit. We haven't talked about title and escrow and their role.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a major, if you're going to a major company here in town in the Mid-Valley, is there a discernible difference? I don't know, you don't have to name names or anything, but how would we know if they're doing a good job? Home builders, I mean, home buyers out there, we don't know one from the other.
Well, all the companies here in town are good companies. They all have a lot of good experience, escrow officers. I think it's another that you've had a good working, the realtors had a good working relationship, and that the agent itself at the title company, you know and trust, and how you communicate with them. But I think overall, I work with all of them. And they're here to do the job. They're independent. They just collect all the information, and you got to provide it to them.
Who picks it? Who picks the escrow person?
It could be either way. Generally, because our listing asks for a title company in our listing contract, so I just usually tell my client, is there a title company you prefer? And they say, no, whoever you want. So okay. I can fill that in. But when you get the sale agreement and the other realtor asks for somebody else, you can switch. There's
okay.
no...
Good to know. All right. We're talking to Laura Dorn, realtor extraordinaire in the Mid-Valley here. We're going to be back to talk to her a little bit more about some demographics and getting a loan and the bridge and being a factor in West Salem. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN, Salem is Listening.
Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Blixin' and blixin' and all his reindeers pulling on the reins.
Have you been good, Brent?
Unfortunately, I have not had time to get any trouble.
No, that's good, yeah.
You're running out of time. I could be a bad boy and go out and get in some trouble, but I've had to just, you know, nose to the grindstone, stay the straight and narrow.
Good.
How about you, Dave? Santa comes? He'd come into your house?
Big time.
Okay, good. You got to make sure he doesn't step in your yard and ruin your landscaping or dent the roof so that your home value
right.
goes down.
Get affected
Santa. I saw a great meme the other day. The day after Christmas, Santa Claus was in his work outfit trying to repair. He was a roof repairman because he damaged
darn
all the
deers.
Houses.
Yeah.
We've got to make sure that people, it doesn't affect our house prices. That's important to people in the Mid-Valley.
That's
and
right.
Whether or not they are going to buy a house and whether or not they're going to keep the house, whether they can trade up, trade out, and all those things. That's why we've got my friend Laura Dorn here in the studio. Just got a few more minutes. Hey, can I give you like the quick question? We'll do the hot list of questions here. Before we finish up talking about the future market.
Sure.
And you can put your prognosticator hat on. should people try to time the sale of or purchase of their house? Timing the market. They mm-hmm. talk about this in securities and stuff like that, but do you time the market? Or is it, it's hard, impossible to time, and they should just buy or sell when they're ready?
I think they should buy and sell when they're ready. It's got to be their time. You know, a lot of my sales last year were people saying, oh, I'm ready to sell this house and buy another one. And there wasn't another one to buy. Mm-hmm. But they thought they were going to get, you know, good money, and they were willing to go on a rental till the right one comes along. Well, then that makes them a better buyer because they're not selling a house. So timing has a lot to play, but so they're on a rental until they find the right one.
I literally had somebody tell me, we're going to sell our house now because it's top of market.
Yeah.
They're perceived top of market.
Perceived.
And then we're going to rent, and we're going to wait for there to be a crash, and then we're going to buy a house again.
Well,
that's kind of sounding risky to me. I wouldn't uproot my
they'll
family.
They'll get tired of living in an apartment.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Are people having any difficulty getting a loan? Are you still finding a lot of loan programs out there that you can refer people to? I know you're not, and we're picking on you because you know so much about so many topics.
I think that as long as they have a good credit score and their debt's under control, they can get a loan. There's a lot of programs. There's still a lot of veteran loan programs that are super good. The first-time homebuyer FHA, the rates are lower on FHA than on a conventional in most cases. And your 30-year fix are at 4.75%.
4.75%. That's
wow.
better than some people have been telling me. They're paying 5.25%, 5.5%.
And it fluctuates a little bit, but if you're ready to buy, why not get started?
Do you have any demographics? Do they come out as part of the MLS, or do you keep track of demographics as far as what blocks of ages people are moving in what areas or ethnicities or any of those kinds of things?
Mm.
I mean, do we see influxes? We talked about California.
Yeah. Well, I think the only influx that I'm seeing a little bit more, and not a lot, but this could still change, is Portland people coming to Salem. Mm-hmm. And we still have a lot of retirees coming from not just California, but other areas, because they can still get nice housing here, leaving other markets that are higher. You know, there's people that track this stuff. I don't track it as much.
Okay. Well, we'll go on to the next question.
Okay.
There's no way out of West Salem unless you cross those bridges. I don't know. Is that starting to be a factor in people saying, hey, Laura, don't show me West Salem?
I hear it all the time. I don't want to deal with the bridge, especially if they happen to work downtown and have to be at work a certain hour. Or some of my clients need I-5 for their jobs going up and down, whether they work in Albany or to the north, the Wilsonville, whatever. We do have good schools over there, so that's certainly a draw. But getting over that bridge, we need another one. That's
all right.
For sure.
So that's going to affect, you know, because that's a lot of growth there, because that's where the land is.
Yep.
Inside the urban growth boundary, we've talked about in different shows. But isn't that going to affect not just the new house value, but the existing house values in terms of people going, not in West Salem, not till we have more options to get across the river?
Well, it will a little bit. There's still a lot of nice neighborhoods over there that people are willing to live over there in the school situation, definitely. And there's a lot of redevelopment over there, in case you haven't noticed, as far as commercial stuff. So
yes, indeed. All right, next one. I'm moving right along. High school districts. Are people still picking the area they want to live in based on the high school districts, which we learned from Kathy Goss, the school board member, they're changing, of course.
Yes.
Is that as factor as people think?
I think not really. I think
I want to be a Sprague person. I want to be a South person.
You still hear that. Yeah. I mean, if maybe they grew up there and they want their kids to go to Sprague, you know, that sort of thing, you still hear some of it, but I don't think as much.
I know that when my kids were playing baseball or in sports and youth, people would literally move their whole family so that they were in the high school district to play sports in that, for that coach or for that school.
And then the school district redistricts.
Well, that's a problem. I mean, it happens.
It does.
And they're getting tighter about transfers from other, you better either be a super musician or an athlete or you're not getting to go to another school.
So there's a lot of talk about millennials and whether or not they want to buy a house and whether it's the right life choice for them. Mm-hmm. In this area, are we seeing more people skip on buying houses, or people just still growing up and buying houses? I know nationwide it's a trend, or that's what we're told, at least in the media. But
well, I think in our area, our millennials still want to be homeowners. Okay. I have young people that have, you know, saved their money, been in an apartment, and they're just ready to do it. And, you know, and they understand a lot of times you have to buy something, put some elbow grease into it, but they're still out there.
In my experience, I interview a lot of them on my day job, and a lot of them are better savers than their parents ever were.
Yeah, a lot of them have a good down payment.
Yeah, I make this much money, but we're going to live on less. Then we're going to live in a simpler life. And
yep, they don't have as much stuff as we have.
Amen. Amen to that.
Maybe that's why they get the little homes.
Last topic. Are we expecting a price drop anytime soon? Will the market adjust down, or is this a new normal? Look into the future. What kind of market's ahead, even 5 and 10 years?
Well, I think at least in the next couple of years, we have still a good market. And we will see some price higher because of lot costs and the cost to build. I think we are feeling a leveling out in pricing across the board in resale. But I think it's a good time.
So if someone is looking at a $250,000 home, they shouldn't wait for 18 months to see if they can get it for $225,000.
I would agree.
Okay.
Yeah, they shouldn't wait.
You heard it here first, folks. Here on Newsmakers, we're talking to Laura Dorn, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. Been a broker in town for 28 years, been a tireless volunteer in many nonprofits in the community, including the Chamber and Habitat and the Salem Realtors Association, and probably countless hours, but also investing in the community. So we invited her in. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
So we'll see you tomorrow. It's been a great day. Thanks for all that information. You've been listening to Newsmakers at the News at Noon Hour, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.